Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
We live in the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. Sometimes, because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. And Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio every week. And I do want you to check out the YouTube channel. It's Vinny Eastwood NZ. If you happen to enjoy the American pronunciation of the letter Z, what it actually is, you know, but that's a side issue. There are a whole bunch of things you can look at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. You can search the name of any guest. You can search the name of any topic, subject you can think of, and I can pretty much guarantee you there will be something there to listen to. In some cases, years old, and is still as relevant today as they were when we first aired them. Those archives are available to everybody for free, ladies and gentlemen, because people like you listening give me $5 a week, $5 a month, $20 a week, whatever. If you've got $1,000 that you want to donate every month, it's been done. Ladies and gentlemen, this show is going through strength to strength, and it shows no sign of slowing down. So I do want to thank you very much for your support, because it is absolutely integral to the continued success of the show, waking people up, saving human life, and getting the interesting stuff and, well, should we say, the opinions and research findings of some of the most enlightened individuals on the planet. My very special guest joining me tonight has graciously given us his time. There's a pun in there, because his name is Lenny Time. Welcome back to the show. I think this might be the first time in a long time.
Yes, it was maybe 6 years that I first appeared on your show, so it's good to be back after a bit of a hiatus.
Yes, well, broadcasting is as well from Oregon, where they've just legalized cannabis, so a hiatus is the operative word. Now,
absolutely,
Lenny, we have a big list of things to get through here, because there is, well, let's just say I want to preach to everybody love and togetherness, and the blue avian alien species has come here to say as much, but they said so in their literal language, which sounds more like bark, bark. Now, speaking, we're just going to move on from that very quickly and get on to a more relevant subject, namely Matt Landman's movie Frankenskies.
Ah, yes. It is a movie that everybody should watch, because after you've watched it, you will know that we could bring criminal charges against certain people that appear in the beginning of the movie, namely Al Gore, who, gee, talk about milking something that people care about for lots of money and not following through on what you say. But Matt goes through a lot of things in the movie, and I think everybody should make up their mind for themselves. And there's absolutely no reason that we should be spraying the planet with aluminum, barium, and strontium. And the first time I was on the show, it was because I was in the movie What in the World Are They Spraying?, Michael Murphy's movie, and everything I said in that movie still holds up to form. So we are looking at three elements there that do not have any real biological utility. And I can talk for hours about the chemistry of the topic.
Didn't Anonymous put out like a half-hour webcast about chemtrails?
Yes, Anonymous just did 2 days ago. And it talks about the work of Dane Wigington over at geoengineeringwatch.com. And we're all asking the same questions, with a preponderance of evidence demonstrating that, yes, there are planes flying just to fly the planes because they're taking U-turns and running circles, doing cross-check patterns. But we have lots of chemtrails, and they're not spraying for any good reason. So it's time to call a moratorium on the chemtrail spraying, and in fact call a moratorium on all corporate industrial pollution. Industrial disease, as Dire Straits called it.
Well, the question is here, with the overwhelming scientific evidence saying stop spraying, how long is it actually going to take for them to look at the proof?
They're not going to look at the proof. Well, maybe after we replace 3/4 of them in a big pedophile scam, they'll look at the proof. But right now, there's absolutely no reason to look at the proof when they're bought and paid for by Monsanto, which holds patents for genetic engineering poisons and food. I mean, really, it's a Monsanity that that company is allowed to do business. But I tend to think that we have a fascist world here, and that maybe the Germans won the World War II. Certainly doesn't seem like we won it, given the way most Americans are treated these days.
Well, I would say that somebody won it, but it was neither of the, it wasn't any of the countries fighting. It was probably the people that were financing all those countries fighting.
Yes, the banksters that were in charge, yes.
I think maybe if we put aside any of our patriotism, my grandfather died in that war, my father was sitting and having dinner when bombs was blown out. If you take the emotion out of it, you take all the real horrible experiences that actually happened to people, and you just look at the situation logically, it's very interesting, right? How many things were justified as a result of World War II? What was all the things leading up to it? Who actually benefited? Where did the United Nations come from? And why were Nazi party officials appointed to be the very first leader of the United Nations? Why did the Rockefellers donate all of that land to build the United Nations that was formerly occupied by a slaughterhouse, right? These kind of things. If we have a huge threat presented, and they're financing both sides, so they're pulling the puppet strings either way, that means it doesn't matter what society wants to do. They will fight because the people in control of the countries and the armies and the finances command that they do. And as a direct result of that permeating trauma throughout society, you can justify any changes to the way global business, politics, or economics is run.
Yeah, well, there was a man in India in the 1930s who got tired of the British Empire dictating things. I believe his name was Gandhi. And he organized a trek across the country for the purposes of getting salt, because he knew it came from the ocean. And by the time his satyagraha had crossed the nation of India on foot, the British Empire had begun falling. So we, I'd like to know what happened to the Nazis' eugenics research and how come it's off limits to us but seems to be on limits to a lot of other people. To tell you the truth, I wonder about the whole control system of what we've been taught in school, because we've all been educated under an American school system that is based on the Nazi school system. And requires 100% obedience to the belief in the nonsense they teach us.
Yep, if it's a yes or no answer, it's an ABC question. There is a right answer, there is a wrong answer, and if you don't get the right answer, you're going to be punished for you. So essentially, you're adopting children into a situation of prolonged stress and judgment. And the most degrading thing you can do to a human being is to give them a grade.
Yeah, I tend to think you're right. I think middle school nowadays has a correlation in adult America to county prison.
Designs are similar.
Having fun at school to carrying 40 pounds of books. And what's this thing about homework? Why are they sending kids home with extra work? Isn't 8 hours a day enough work at school for the kids? Can't they actually be a kid for a while?
Well, if the goal of school was to help kids be kids and then later become well-adjusted adults, they failed miserably. But if the goal is to break their spirit, destroy their creativity, make them conformist, and to essentially act like an attack white blood cell to anybody who would question the status quo, then I think it's working pretty freaking well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. I kind of think that homeschool is the way to go, but you know how it is with us targeted individuals. Once they find out we're homeschooling, oh boy, then they really start harassing you.
Yeah.
Because breaking their law, even though, how can you follow all the laws? When was the last time you heard of a legislature anywhere sunsetting a law?
You mean repealing laws that were never to be done again? Never.
Yeah.
Now, the excuse is that if you're breaking the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse, which is why they've made millions of laws so that nobody could ever possibly know them all. And a recent poll in England has suggested that the average Londoner will, on a daily basis, break at least 7 laws. At least. Now,
oh, yeah. Easily.
Ayn Rand talked about this. She said something along the lines of the amount of legislation that would be built up over time through progressive governments would mean that nobody would be able to do anything or step out their door without breaking several laws. And that means that the system can essentially target anybody for any reason it wants, any personal reason it wants. And that's why all the surveillance, that's why all the drafting away of people's rights. It's simply to make people slaves when they were once free. And the way to do that is to take their rights away incrementally rather than all at once. Because if you take them away incrementally, they don't fight back as hard.
So now we have Minority Report crossed with Brazil by Terry Gilliam.
Yeah. Well, one can only hope. He probably...
Well, we could say that we have Franz Kafka, but I don't think anybody's ready for how dark Kafka really was.
I'm not.
Wrote some interesting stuff, but he was Russian, and we're not allowed to talk about Russians in this country.
Most people think that Kafka is a kind of macchiato.
I read Machiavelli's The Prince. And I was fascinated by how awesome the book was. And it's one of those books that is totally vilified, and you're never supposed to read it. Machiavelli means a very evil person. And you read The Prince, and it's almost like The Art of War by Lao Tzu. It is a very, very good work telling a prince who has inherited a kingdom how he should govern to keep his kingdom. And the way that it tells is to keep your people happy. Now, in Oregon, they let us get stoned. That keeps us very happy. But in other places in the world, they don't.
Like in New Zealand. Thank you, Peter Dunn. He's a guy who's been in our parliament for like a decade. And every single time, he's like a one party, one guy out of like 180 or something. And every single time he becomes a part of the new government, he says, the only way you can get my support is to never have any changes of the laws on cannabis. Just a complete scumbag. And he needs to have his political career assassinated. Like, he needs to be demonized. He needs to have the facts come out about what a scumbag he is so that he won't get any more votes from these very, very foolish people who trust what he says.
Move into his district, run against him. Or find somebody to move into his district and run against him.
It's already happening. And it's interesting because it's cross-party support against this guy. It's quite interesting. I've never seen it happen. Both the left and the right are pulling or putting in their candidates into that guy's district and working together to oust him. I've never seen anything like it before. I've been watching this a long time, and it's good to see. Right, my friend Arik Rice, who made the film Drug Lord, is also making a little documentary piece specifically about this guy. So hopefully it won't be illegal here for too much longer. Now, this comes onto another subject we were talking about, Lenny, where we talked about how science, you know, how people say the science has settled on cannabis, it's got no medical benefits, it's not good for you, oh, it causes harm to society, right? Has actually become a religion, all right? And I see prohibitionists as a kind of religious front in a large kind of way. And, it's the abandoning of reason and the complete dogmatic indoctrination of the scientific community is essentially destroying what science is.
Yeah, the G20 summit that they just had last week shows the ridiculousness of what we're talking about. The climate controls are total socialist and total pro-government control the people to keep them away from energy, which we could have freely if we use Tesla technology. But now what they're trying to do is they're trying to combat global warming when we're just about to move into the next little ice age. And they have no clue. They say that it's man-made global warming. But I want to know how all the men on Venus and Mars and Jupiter and Saturn, which are undergoing the same temperature changes that the Earth is, managed to get their industrial populations going to warp their planets. People have to be... What science has become is an old boys' network, and it's the only place where you publish your information, and then you have full rights to anything you said, to the exclusion of everybody else having rights to say it in any other way. So you've got patents and copyrights and publishers who... They're gatekeepers on what's allowed out, first of all, and then you have to conform to the ideas already specified by them in order to have them even consider your work. Matt Landeman and I submitted a paper to Northwestern University for a conference that was held on the regulation of geoengineering. They're denying it's taking place, but they're also forming regulations to set it. So we wrote a paper on the social impact of geoengineering, and of course it was rejected, but, I mean, you can't get into their club to even debate the issue. I was a trader on the Chicago Climate Exchange in 2005, 2006, 2007 with a group called Wonder Earth Partners. And the entire Chicago Climate Exchange was a major fraud. We had 1,000 acres of timber
that we decided not to cut because they offered carbon credits and they wouldn't accept the count of how much carbon that timber actually absorbed because it wasn't the right type of tree specified in their protocols. But the protocols were for the governments and the corporations to trade, and it excluded people. We filed a complaint in 2010. They shut down the Chicago Exchange for fraud. It wasn't because our complaint was the only one.
Well, it's essentially it's become a business, isn't it? Just like war.
Everything's a business. It's why we need to get rid of money.
Yeah.
The chase for money has become everybody's preoccupation, not for the value and the quality of life that money can buy. One of the things I have here is I'm on 36 acres of nature where I can just turn the camera around and let people look at what it looks like here. And you know how much I make a year? I don't make anything a year. I don't even have a Patreon account. I don't want their money. I don't need it. A friend of mine owns the land outright. I help him out with his gardens and his animal husbandry and his figuring out stuff. And we're going to set up a campus where anybody who has an idea in sustainable agriculture can come here and demonstrate it.
And we'll change
how to do anything. Build tiny houses, build a garden, make probiotic foods, burn biochar. We're going to do it here in Southern Oregon, and people only have to fly into Eugene and Medford and drive an hour and a half, and they'll get here, and we'll have a big party every weekend. But it's going to take us 2 or 3 years to get there, and it's going to cost some money because it's a tourist thing, because everybody wants to come to Southern Oregon because we have that legal wacky weed.
It's one of those interesting things that happens, isn't it? Everybody wants to flood in, but the opposite happens when people actually live there, as was the case in, I think it was the Netherlands, where while it was illegal, it was being used by about 1 in 3 people. After it got legalized, within a few years, that dropped to only 1 in 7 people. And an interesting phenomenon, and a survey was conducted as to why people actually gave up smoking cannabis after it was legalized, and the overwhelming response was that their social circles changed. They were no longer a criminal for using cannabis, so they no longer had to exclusively associate and hang out with criminals to get their cannabis, and they simply didn't contact them anymore, and they stopped using weed in general. Because their friends didn't have to smoke cannabis in order to be their friend anymore, right?
Yeah, but, you know, weed actually is medicinal. And the stuff they call Rick Simpson oil is an amazing substance. Rick has done an excellent job in extracting whole plant marijuana. And then I worked with Armand DeGarth so I can make the stuff. And I tell you, a maintenance dose, and I don't have any medications, nothing. No heart medication, no blood pressure medication, no diabetes medication. The only medication I have is that I like to puff on my pipe and smoke the stuff. But for the Rick Simpson oil, I take a little bit in a capsule twice a day, morning and evening. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't get me stoned, but I'm one of those strange people who smoke marijuana and get motivated. And anybody who says that everybody who smokes marijuana is lazy just doesn't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most motivated people in the world I know smoke all the time consistently because it dampens their nervous system so they're not as high strung.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the thing. If you're all upset about the way things are going and the world is running past you, smoke a joint and chill out. There's nothing you could do. The only person you can change is yourself. And the way to do that is by lowering your frequency closer to the ground state. Some people can do it by meditation. I prefer smoking pot, but I do meditate also.
Yeah. Well, some people achieve that kind of high through meditation, but I like it to do it the natural way. Now, there is another element about this whole kind of thing. I mean, it branches into several topics, is about the concept of how science is about proving how things work rather than proving how you think they work. You know, it's not about your hypothesis. Once the facts don't support it, you've got to abandon that hypothesis, essentially. But a lot of people have, they've brought emotion into it. They've brought money into it. They've brought a whole bunch of corrupting factors, which can just stop the mind from thinking, this is the truth. That's what science is about. And I can't argue with it.
Yeah, there was a famous scientist who once said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And then he proceeded to make up this stuff called quantum mechanics based on the time and space of everything. And now he's currently deified. I prefer to call him Uncle Albert because the Beatles song. But Uncle Albert really was a sharp person, and the first thing he did was tell you, I have imagined this, and this is how I think it to be. And now they teach this stuff as though it's biblical gospel, hence a religion of science. But really, time and space are very limiting concepts. And if we are doing something called ascension, which is a supposed dimensional shift, we're not dealing with time and space anymore. We have a lot more broader latitude than to be restricted. So I think we've already invented space travel. I think the problem with our space travel, or not space travel, time travel. The problem with time travel is that when you go back in time and do something, when you come forward in time, you're now in a parallel universe. You're not in this universe again.
I have an interesting story about that, actually. I was going to interview Andrew Brashago, the time-traveling chrononaut, right, who's a turned whistleblower, and we had a scheduling conflict. I love the irony of that.
Yes. I mean, we want time travel. But when we get time travel, then it becomes irrelevant when we got it, right?
Yeah, that's actually a line from Terminator Genesis. What do we want? Time travel. When do we want it? It's irrelevant.
Yep. And it makes complete sense that we already have it, because you can tell there is absolutely no way H.G. Wells could write some of the stuff he wrote, or Jules Verne, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, or Voyage to the Moon. Both of those so close to the party line that you can tell the party line was Photoshopped based on the novel. So that gets us to the question, are we really in the Matrix? Does it matter what we do? Or is it one of those things where when we make a decision, we generate a whole world with the opposite decision that we made? And if nothing really changes, the two worlds merge back on the same timeline. But every so often, you do something so bizarre that you never really get back to your old world. And so now there's more of you floating around distracting you. And in worlds where you have been generated but you don't belong because you were there to help a friend, you're irrelevant and you turn into one of the sheeple. So for every place where you and I are activists on Earth, there's probably dozens of us who are part of the sheeple holding a boring job doing what they were trained to do. But in this Earth, we happen to be Vinny and Lenny and having a good time on a radio show.
Well, I thought of it as a fractal holographic representation of collective consciousness co-creating itself, so that there is, in fact, a perfect loop between what you think, what you do, how it affects something and then comes around and affects you and what you think and what you do and affect the cycle over again.
Boris, right? Swapping its own tail.
That's right. And it works on the macro scale as well as the micro scale. So within me, there's give or take 5 trillion cells. Within each of them, there's 5 trillion other even smaller organisms. Within each of those, there's another 5 trillion smaller organisms. So there's a universe within everything as small as an atom and even smaller than that. As well as going all the way up. Now, what that means is that I'm a...
Sky are actually the cell nuclei of us.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think of it more as in terms of if you're part of an organism, one microorganism is a part of me. That means I'm part of another organism, right? And that organism is part of another organism that's bigger up the chain. So I think it's me, my cells going down, and then it's me, the Earth, the galaxy, the red dwarf star cluster, the so on and so forth, going up. Now, that means that my vision of the entirety of existence is from a very unique standpoint called the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And out of all of existence, I get to be me, and I get to do this, and I get to have consciousness. I'm not an amoeba. I'm not a cockroach or anything like that, I think is very encouraging.
Well, you know, my theory is that the cockroach and the amoeba both have human-type minds and 80-year lifespans in whatever size scale they're in, so that within that fractal, they're actually doing human work, and they don't even think twice because the humans are some other being on some other scale. But it's like our dogs. I have a 50-pound dog. He's got a, 7 dog years for every 1 human year, so he'll live to be about 12. But he ages full cycle in those 12 years from puppy to old girl. It seems to me that that dog is smarter than I am in a lot of things. I don't see quite in the same way, but if the intelligence is even half of what it is as a human, at a quarter of the size, that means it's twice as good as we are with the hand that it was dealt. And the dog doesn't have a problem with loyalty or being my friend. Whereas a human, some people who I counted on and thought were my friends turned against me and all of a sudden they're enemies. And then they want to come back and be friends again. And they don't even understand what they did that they didn't understand that just pissed me off in the first place. But that's the thing. People who are so involved in the money, I don't have anything in common with them anymore.
I'm actually, you started to notice that too, ladies and gentlemen, that once you start to get into the truth and how things really are, and you put your ego and your beliefs and a whole lot of them on the back burner because they're no longer relevant. All right, to the pursuit of truth, you realize that your beliefs were holding you back when it was actually acceptance of facts that was what was going to propel you forward. And I think we've got a lot of time to catch up, right? Like, how many years did you get indoctrinated through school and university and work and so on and so forth? You've got this whole spectrum of indoctrination throughout the entirety of your lifespan. And people then suddenly figure out 9/11's an inside job, and they think they've automatically unlearned all that's been programmed into them, when the reality is they actually take that same programming into the movement. That's why people wind up being as mainstream in this movement and as callous and as disregarding as other people's research and things of that nature as they ever were when they were a quote-unquote sheeple.
Yeah, so I have to agree with you. The anger and ferocity of people who have their opinion and want to be taken seriously because it's their opinion without the basis of any logical fact is amazing. And in science,
I question. I think all scientists who work should question the science field they work in. And that's going to be hard because those underpinnings are the underpinnings of what we learn that we base our whole integrity of the field on. But I can tell you that maybe 80% of the chemistry I can agree with, and the 20% I can't, I knew I couldn't agree with earlier. I just don't have a better explanation. But here's the thing. When you get down to it, most of our knowledge of biology and biochemistry comes through something called crystal structure analysis. And what they do is they take an enzyme or a protein and they dewater it and they grow it into a crystal so that the pattern of the atoms repeats in logical units that they can then beam X-rays and other frequencies at and get an idea of what the distances between atoms are and tell which atoms are connected to other atoms. So we know the sequence of an enzyme positionally based on this structure that we had that came from an X-ray pattern that had no water in it, so that positive and negative charges from one molecule could align to the next molecule in that regular repeating basis. So all of the mechanism and structure work of science is based on the theory behind this apparatus. Well, it turns out that Jerry Pollack at the University of Washington in his fourth phase of water demonstrated how water is over half the enzyme by weight and is integral in the activity of the enzyme. So that means that by dewatering the crystal before we grew it in order to get the spatial positioning, we altered all the spatial positioning. Sorry, it's entirely invalid. Throw it away. They can't do that. They'd rather argue that Pollock's not right.
Yeah. Well, I think once you've got something really invested into it, and in some cases you've spent years, decades of your life or whatever, and you come up to something that says, hey, bro, everything you've been working for this whole time and everything that you thought, it's actually useless and you've just been wasting your life, cunt. Are they going to go, oh, well, I'll just accept that readily. Thank you. Now I don't have to continue wasting my life and being an idiot, and I can just do something right for a change. I've had an opportunity to learn something and then use it. Use that knowledge, right?
Because
knowledge without use is useless.
Maybe all the GMO scientists will hear what you just said and take it to heart. Because everything that we've been taught about GMOs is essentially propaganda of the Monsanity and their derivatives. And, I mean, just look at it. Where did Rumsfeld and Cheney come out of? I mean, Rumsfeld came out of Monsanto by way of Searle, and Cheney came from Halliburton. And they're so tied up in the defense and big industry, the mill industrial corporation, that even though Cynthia McKinney and Bob Steele are trying to unrig the system, I don't think it can be unrigged. I think we need a whole new system. And I think we need 15 or 20 different systems that we can try and see which one works. Because maybe capitalism will work for one or two things, but maybe a Mondragon model will work for something. Or maybe a socialist model. Or any model you want. Let's play role-playing games, model different environments and different politics, and keep track of what we're doing like a sports league does, and measure things that people do on an annual basis and compare it to what they did the previous year. And don't have measurements that are about the quality of people's work. Measure the quantity of people's work and have the value judgments left to the guilds that the people work in, because everybody wants to work as a professional and do the best job they possibly can.
Mm.
Change the whole thought process
And the only person who we can change thought process for is ourselves. So I've invented a game called Existence to try and do this. And I am now validating my statistics by playing fantasy baseball in a Yahoo league. And of course, baseball is the American national pastime. I don't watch television at all. I haven't seen a baseball game in years. But I can take the statistics, the home runs, RBIs, batting averages, stolen bases, earned run averages, and strikeouts, and I can read which players are better than other players based on those performance measurements. Why can't we do that for kids at school?
It would be interesting to do because I think it takes a village to raise a child, is the old saying, and a lot of times you realize that every single structure of society has virtually no accountability, and as a direct result of having no accountability, they're going out of control. They're not performing very well. They're losing money. They're turning out stupid kids. They're killing people in the medical industry more than they're saving, Virg. You know, it's everything is screwed, and because there is no accountability and there is no critical analysis wholesale on a public wide level to hold them accountable and hold the bright lights of publicity on them.
I want to hold you accountable, and I want to say good job on the vaccine effort. That is so much important in the world that people stop taking these vaccines that are loaded with garbage. And I mean mercury and other different things that they want to slip in there. Because really, the goal is eugenics. And if we were talking earlier about the Nazi research, I want to see the research that they did in all those camps on the eugenics. Because you can tell that the pharmaceutical companies are obviously creating their drugs to take advantage of that research. So the fact that it hasn't been released, in fact, I want the entire Vatican Library released. Isn't it about time that we got information about things? Shouldn't all information be open source? Can't we evaluate the information without somebody owning it? What's with the patent system and the copyright system that don't allow people to actually take advantage of the opportunity of building on somebody else's work? Copying is not theft, it's flattery.
Mm-hmm. It's a despicable system that we've gotten ourselves embroiled in, and what's difficult is that you realize that the vast majority of the population don't even think that there's a problem, right? Or they know that there's a problem, but they really can't be bothered taking personal responsibility to do anything about solving said problem or finding out how said problem works or was caused. They just keep going because they're distracted and they're poor and they're stressed, and ultimately the only time that they get that's free, they don't want to spend that learning about what the business of scary people. They want to spend that escaping from this horrible reality that they're trapped and entrenched in.
That's why I figure the word job means just over broke, because no matter how much you make, you're just over broke. Your bills are within 10% of the amount of money you make, usually in excess, not in shortage. Every so often you get a month where you might be able to save, but then they jack you around in something else. But I went homeless in order to figure out why people went homeless, and found that it was a way better lifestyle than paying to live in a home. So I lived in my van for 4 or 5 years, traveling the West Coast, searching for a reasonable, intentional community to work with people. I came back to within half an hour where I used to live and decided I'd build my own community with a few of my friends. And I came here to work with a gentleman who was starting a program for localization.
That's the opposite of globalization. It means everybody works on a local scale. And in fact, Kirkpatrick Sale wrote a book in the 1970s called Human Scale. That's the scale we need to be addressing things on. If you can't deal with somebody who's a direct representative to the decision-making process where you live, you're not part of the system. And so politics can only take place on a basis where you know the politician who is representing you from your district. So we're going to need a lot more public participation. So maybe we figure out a way to make it 2 hours a night on weekdays and let everybody be eligible just like juries are. Hey, you get to be administrator this week. Hey, you get to be lackey this week. But the professionals that do the work of the government need to really be there to do the work of the government. And I would suggest that you don't allow somebody to work for the government until they are retired from the working world. And once they move into government, they are never, ever, ever allowed to have another business position again. And that would close the revolving door between Congress and corporations that get a lot of legislation passed on the sly and then have the people who wrote the legislation go back to the corporations to take advantage and make money out of it.
Yeah. You can't have shares. You can't have any business dealings whatsoever. You have to basically give that all up, retire from your life of working, and want to devote the rest of your life to serving, right?
And we could develop ways of supporting people who serve in that capacity at any age so that they're taken care of, that they don't need to have a material salary if we wanted to go to that extreme. But the thing to do would be to imagine every extreme and let every individual role play themselves to create the environment that they would prefer to be in, and then we'll create those environments that people have preferences for. But right now it's all create the environment that some corporation wants you to slave labor for, and you and I know that doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work for the slaves.
Oh, it works fine for the 0.1%.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work for the slaves, but the slaves do work. It's just something that I am now realizing, right? I think it was a little while back, actually. Me and my friend, we went to another friend's funeral. It was a while down the line, so we had to get up real early. Like, I'm talking 4 o'clock in the morning, traveling south on the highway kind of thing. And there are people traveling north at 4 o'clock in the morning in gridlock, heading to work in the city, right?
Oh. And that's bad design, isn't it?
All right, now that is slavery, okay? Yeah. That's fucking slavery, man. And it just makes me sick and sad at the same time.
I have to agree. I think we need to reinvent the world, and I think that's what's happening. I think what we're seeing is that they're really pitching this science fiction option where everybody can go and live on Mars and live happy. Go into space, become a part of the Space Legion. Aliens are going to save us. Oh, we're going to ascend and all go to different planets. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of this stuff.
The only way love and peace is actually going to prevail on this planet is if we make it happen.
Yeah. Do the Gandhi thing. We do a satyagraha. We don't pay any attention to what's going on in the official world because we're too busy living our own lives.
Mm.
But they're not going to like that because we're not going to pay them taxes.
Mm. A satyagraha from Stalingrad to Baja. It'll be freaking awesome.
I mean, we just got to get it so that people stop fighting with other people and start addressing some of the real issues of the world. And one of those issues happens to be, why are we polluting everything that we touch? Don't we know better? We have a responsibility to other species, if nothing else. And I'm not sure it's all man's fault.
I'm not going to go that far and blame things on anthropogenesis, but I do know that if we use our rivers as sewers, have oil spills that we'd rather throw Corexit on and sink than clean up, and do damage specifically for the purpose of rebuilding. I mean, that's the broken window fallacy. They proved that. There's no logic to that.
What is the broken window fallacy?
The fact that if you bomb a country and then rebuild that country because it helps your industry make money, that net effect is you actually lose, you don't gain, because the process of destruction means you have to go back too far to actually make the advances you would have if you kept the old infrastructure. But I don't know. Crash
order,
and burn.
Order out of chaos. It's order out of chaos, right? And the thing about the psychopathic mindset is that people don't understand. They think that everybody thinks like they do, you know, with morals and with a conscience, with goodness and not pure evil, ultimate scumbaggery and terrible ends. You know, why would somebody thirst for money and power and ruthlessly kill and exterminate anybody who opposed them? I just don't understand that, you know?
And because they don't, they buy into what they've been told, and that's why we have run into the problems. You know, it's funny, but I can see what's going to happen is that worldwide, something called the BRICS is going to take over the economic system because it makes a whole lot of sense. And you can already tell Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they're working together on how to do something that will actually help everybody in their own way. But the United States is going to be excluded from that deliberately because we've essentially, you know the old joke. What do you call somebody who speaks three languages? Trilingual. Two languages, bilingual, one language, American. I mean, it just, people here are ignorant of anything beyond their little box of knowledge, and it's going to come hard when big ag and big pharma fail at the same time.
And then you got all those people. A third of the population is, at last count of the adult population at least, who are on really dangerous medication that will have terrible side effects if they stop taking it.
And they're not going to have it available.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what's coming to decrease the U.S. population, not a civil war. But it kind of has to come because essentially Big Pharma has been milking all those people for years, keeping them alive just to extract their resources.
Mm-hmm. And what was it? Chemotherapy kills about 96% of people who take it, but a round of chemotherapy is worth about $50,000 to the big pharmaceutical industry. So do they keep giving it to you and not giving you cannabis, which could be grown like a weed and then just easily with isopropyl alcohol or ethanol turned into a medical grade substance that will get rid of that cancer like that? Do they want to do that instead? No? Oh, why not? Because then it cures it, and you don't give them all your money.
I disagree with you. I think doctors kill 98% of the population.
Well, one can only hope.
I know, they really do. How many people actually die of natural causes without being sucked into the medical system for any reason at all?
When people think they're dying, they go to the medical industry. And then when it turns out that you could have just been given a magnesium supplement and your heart's palpitations would stop, you could just be given some weed and your seizures would stop.
Instead, they get you on Lipitor, which is a blood thinner, and you have to take Lipitor for the rest of your life.
Forever.
Forever, yes. boy, we could make some real good vampire movies, except take out the vampires, put them in medical coats, and put big pharma patches on
them. It's funny you should say that, because I've just finished my script called A Werewolf, where it's actually a werewolf in a big pharma coat, and he's giving werewolf medication to somebody who wants to ignore conspiracy theories, and then turns him into a werewolf instead.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm working on a script for the movie Ecotopia. Yeah. It was an Ernst Kallenbach novel from 1980 about the Pacific Northwest seceding from the USA.
Mm. Well, so unfortunately, we're running out of time here. So if you want to wrap that up in like about the next 10 seconds, sorry.
Okay. It's going to be a neat movie. It'll be released sometime around 2025.
All right, awesome. Lenny, Time, do you have a website there?
I do. It's at timeout.com, TheHowD as in dog, T as in Tom.
All right, thank you very much.
I Skyped you a link to my comment on the movie Franken Skies.
Awesome. All right, thank you very much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We'll be right back after the break.
Institution.
American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys, because they have all the technology, they have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
provide us with free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, man?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does.
Oh, they never censor, hang up, or cut off their guests?
Well, that's not fun, is it?
Oh, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shows and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are. We are. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Remember, remember the 5th of November. The gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling about half-past dead.
So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was hurting myself, and now
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Because I'm happy. Come on, if you know what happiness is to you.
Levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for that listening pleasure you all have been craving, I'm sure. Speaking of craving, now, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Mawson homeschooled study reveals who is sicker. I want to read out a few articles for you today, ladies and gentlemen, and break them down. Our guest may or may not turn up. I don't know what the score is there. In fact, I'll just check my Skype messages and make sure he's not. No, he's not. All right. We're going to be running it solo now. All right. Without, as they say in Israel, further ado, a new groundbreaking survey of hundreds of homeschooled American children found that, compared to the unvaccinated children, the vaccinated children had higher odds of developing the following conditions. Chronic illness, 2.4 times as likely. Eczema, 2.9 times as likely. What, neurodevelopmental disorder, 3.7. Autism, 4.2, ADHD, 4.2, learning disabilities, 5.2, allergic rhinitis, 30.1 times more likely. It's never been done before. The first of its kind study of vaccinated versus unvaccinated American homeschooled children shows who is really ailing and parents should be worried. Something is wrong with America's children. They are sick, allergic, asthmatic, anxious, autoimmune, autistic, hyperactive, distracted, and learning disabled. And there's quite a lot of reasons for that. Do these children have nutritious food to eat that can actually fuel their brain and immune system to fight off diseases, disorders, or clear their system out of heavy metals and toxins and things of that nature that they ingest or get put into the bloodstream, or not? Do they get educated in such a way that they are actually taught something of use or how often are they around a wireless signal when they're a child? You know, I see parents, you know, in my own family, you know, their own kids have got little cell phones and iPhones. Their skulls haven't even fully developed into adult thickness yet. And these things against their ears, and it's cooking their whole little brains, right? And that's just one of the many, many things that parents now face as a threat in this world. You know, it's almost like the survival rates have gone up, but the level of threat that you actually have to live with has gone up at the same time. It's just that it's always invisible. You know,
well, I don't know why he got autism.
Yeah. 32 million American children, a full 43% of them, suffer from at least one of 20 chronic illnesses, not including obesity. Across the board, once rare pediatric disorders from autism and ADD to type 1 diabetes and Tourette's syndrome are soaring, though few studies pull the data. And don't want to suggest that there's anything untoward going on there. But however, if you ever look at any of the statistics on this, the scale of the problem that you're dealing with the autism spectrum happened directly after they passed a law that created the vaccine courts. And what these ones do is, oh, if you've got a vaccine reaction, you have to go to the vaccine court. You can't sue the company who manufactured the vaccine that damaged your child directly. No, that would just result in them having to fork out for a heck of a lot of liability. No, instead we want to make it into a bureaucratic process so that the taxpayer, which you are, has to foot the bill for our product that damaged your child for life. You know, sounds like a good business decision, don't you think? And directly after that happened, autism spectrum disorder started skyrocketing. Like the year after it happened, when the statistics, you know, you see it like 1 in 10,000 here for like since forever, and then 1 in 5,000. Oh, that's like a doubling. And then like 1 in 180, and then now it's like it's going to be like 1 in 2 by 2030. Right, 80% of the boys, if current trends continue. That's how big this outbreak is. And it's all by design. If you ever want to have a look at Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, the BBC version that was made in the 1960s, I think it was, where they're all running around in jumpsuits and everything. Very, very scary thing to watch, about how people have been literally chemically created to such a level that they become unquestioning workers in society that doesn't care about them. You know, not entirely dissimilar to what's going on today, because it was planned. Compared to their parents, children today are 4 times more likely to have a chronic illness, and while their grandparents might never have swallowed a pill as children, the current generation of kids is as pharmaceutical sales reps' dream come true. More than 1 million American children under 5 years old takes a psychiatric drug. Now, the problem with these psychiatric drugs is not only do they have really bad side effects, like if you take antidepressant medication because your girlfriend broke up with you, you know, and you're just in the, you're going through a normal life experience, you know, it's going to be tough, mate, but you'll get through this. But he takes the medication anyway and then hangs himself in the garage with a garden hose. The mum comes home, sees him. You feel that, ladies and gentlemen? You feel that right in your heart, right there? 16 years old, life right ahead of him? Gone forever. Because of these drugs, the terrible side effects that they actually do cause. And, of course, once you're on one of these terrible drugs, you can virtually never get off them. You got to wean yourself off year after year after year, you know, decreasing it maybe like 1 milligram a month or something just to make sure it's not too dangerous. They got you for life. You're a customer for life. That's why the pharmaceutical sales reps love you when you're going through traumatic times as a young person. Beautiful, isn't it? More than 8.3 million kids under 17 have consumed psychiatric drugs. And in any given month, one in four is taking at least one prescription drug for something. We're having our guts destroyed, isn't it? And, all of that stuff. Whew. Trying to get into the subject of diet and how important that is for managing stress. Should take my own advice, shouldn't I? Fast food, bad genes, too much TV, video games, pesticides, plastics. Name the environmental factor, and it has been implicated in the surge of sickness. Although none adequately explains the scale or scope of the epidemic, and that's true. It's a cumulative causation, but there's one main factor. There is one exposure, however, that has evaded the search. Despite that, children have received it by direct injection in steadily accumulating doses far beyond anything past generations ever saw. 50 doses of 14 vaccines by age 6. I will read that again, ladies and gentlemen.
50 doses of 14 vaccines by age 6.
Oh my God, that makes me feel really, really sick. Imagine what it does to the children that are getting all these vaccines. 69 doses of 16 pharmaceutical vaccines containing powerfully immune-altering ingredients by age 18. Is this starting to like freak anybody out a little bit? Maybe perhaps. What's in these things? A live virus. You know,
oh, I don't want to get infected by the virus. I'll inject it into my bloodstream.
You see, right there is your problem. Just, the logic
is non-existent. It doesn't exist.
Your brain
washed.
Okay. There is nothing more to say about it. You're brainwashed. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You didn't do it to yourself. You consented to it, and now you're allowing it to continue to control your behavior, which is your fault. But I forgive you. It's all right. Things are really, really bad right now. I understand. All of life is a dream, and most of the things that you've been working for in the existence that you've been here on this planet thus far has been lived as a lie and has accomplished
nothing.
So now you can just swallow the truth up, take some personal responsibility for adjusting to it like an adult, and then accept the moral obligation to expose it and inform other people about it so that their kids don't get autism spectrum disorder directly after having a vaccine. Going from a really happy, beautiful, bouncing baby boy one day and just banging his head against the crib all night long the next. Gone. Forever. Can't even cross the street by himself. What's going to happen to his mother? How long she had to take care of him? You see the sort of emotion that needs to be stirred up here? I try to be as detached as I can from these issues and make jokes about them and that kind of thing. But that's only because they hurt me on a very personal, emotional level. And I need to protect myself from it because I'm constantly exposed to it. It's the only reason why. And it's the same reason why I do the show the way I do. Because this stuff will make you depressed. Okay, and you need to get past the depression part of the grief process and get on to acceptance. Just accept it. Make a terrible pun. And then you're done, right? You've accepted the information. That's how it works. We're assured vaccines are, quote, safe and effective.
I'm thinking just safe and effective.
Am I talking about acceptance while going into a rage gasm?
Yes, I am.
if I hear the words safe and effective, oh, there is a blood vessel, I'm sure, waiting to burst one day. All right. One day at a fluoride conference or a vaccine meeting or something or other, there'll be somebody standing up and I will have an aortic infarction, like a brain heart attack, like just ba-boom, ba-bam. Oh, oh, the repetition. Ah, it frustrates me so. Why, Lord? Why with the repetition?
Even though public health officials acknowledge they sometimes have serious side effects, including death. The take this is good for your health. What are the side effects? Death, you know.
You can't make this shit up, bro. I'm not making it up. It says it right there. Oh. Oh.
Calm down, Vinny. You're a professional. They sometimes have serious side effects, including death, and despite the troubling fact that no long-term study of their effects on overall health has ever been conducted. Remarkably, not a single published study has ever compared vaccinated to unvaccinated kids to see who's healthier years after the shots, until now. A pilot study of, get this, 666 homeschooled, they've got 666 6 to 12 year olds, and that's what 6, 12 is 2 sixes and stuff like that.
Damn it! I need somebody who's fluent in like Kabbalah and numerology or something like that to be like my little wingman in the corner there. Hey, can find me an obscure reference to that. Yes, boss.
Be great. Homeschooled children 6 to 12-year-olds from 4 American states published on April 27th in the Journal of Translational Sciences compared 261 unvaccinated children with 405 partially or fully vaccinated children and assessed their overall health based on their mother's reports of vaccinations and physician-diagnosed illnesses. What it found about increases in immune-mediated diseases like allergies and neurodevelopmental diseases, including autism, should make all parents think twice before they ever vaccinate again. As if parents did any thinking when they vaccinated their children. Now that's actually completely unfair to say, isn't it, actually? Parents go nuts and they research whole bunches of stuff, but the problem is all the stuff that they're given by the doctor to research is BS, usually. Go to the government website, they'll tell you the truth. You mean the government that takes people's taxpayer money and gives it directly to the pharmaceutical companies and then gets the taxpayer to come into the publicly funded hospitals and be given at a cheap rate and in some cases free pharmaceutical company stuff, which is the leading cause of death, that government's going to give you accurate information, aren't they? Vaccinated children were over fourfold more likely to be diagnosed on the autism spectrum disorder, 4.3. Vaccinated children were 30-fold more likely to be diagnosed with allergic rhinitis or hay fever than non-vaccinated children. Hay fever. And that's something that you've got to, like, take all the time. Oh, I've got hay fever here. Imagine that. Because who sells all the hay fever medication? By chance, is it
the vaccine manufacturer?
Vaccinated children were 22-fold more likely to acquire an allergy medication than unvaccinated children. Oh, he's allergic to this, that, and the other. Yeah, oh, well, it's amazing what happens when you destroy someone's DNA and immune system by pumping heavy metals into their brain places. Okay? It's not rocket science. It's frickin' toxicology. Now, vaccinated children were over fivefold more likely to be diagnosed with a learning disability Now, I hate to point out the obvious here, but the amount of times I've seen vaccinated people try and stand up for vaccination, it reminds me of the learning disability statistic that's associated with it. Is that cruel to say? I certainly hope so. About 5.2 times more likely if you're vaccinated to have a learning disability. Now, that's a bad one. Vaccinated children were 340% more likely to be diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder than unvaccinated children. And what do they give you if you've got that? They give you cocaine. That's right. That is what your ADHD medication is, ladies and gentlemen. It's frickin' cocaine. You're giving your kid an A-class drug. Or should they crush it and snort it? They could have a hell of a time if they didn't, unfortunately, have this learning disorder. Instead, it'll just make them very, very serious and uncreative and a shadow of who they once were. Because interestingly enough, a lot of the symptoms, not all of them, but many of them, of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which the guidance counselors were like giving around, you know, in order to get the kids on the drugs and that kind of stuff. I saw those same symptoms on a slide at business school. And you know what they were describing? They were describing entrepreneurs. Okay? And I believe that there's a conspiracy. You know, well, this is I don't have the evidence to substantiate it, just a theory. Just throwing it out there, just taking a stab at it. That entrepreneurs do a hell of a lot of good for society, and the New World Order does a whole lot of bad for society, including trying to make sure that entrepreneurs get drugged so that they don't continue to do good for society and instead become dependent, uncreative slaves with an addiction to crack. Right? And by that I mean the ADHD medication that a lot of people are giving their children. I wonder if anybody's ever done that, you know, just before they raise their children. Hey, I want to give them this drug and that drug. And has the parent ever gone, okay, sure, we'll give them that drug, and then actually just on the sneaky, just take one and see what it does to them? And you go, man, I feel really paranoid. I feel sick. I feel woozy. I feel like I've got like slight stomach cramps and things like that. There's no way I'm giving this to my child. You know, try it first, who knows? Just throwing that out there. Vaccinated children were 5.9-fold more likely to have been diagnosed with pneumonia than unvaccinated children, as opposed to the old pneumonia. Vaccinated children were 3.8-fold more likely to be diagnosed with middle ear infection, as opposed to outer ear infection. Which is apparently a big problem in outer ear space, than unvaccinated children, or 3.8 times. Vaccinated children were 700% more likely to have had surgery to insert ear drainage tubes than unvaccinated children, or 8.1. Now, why would that be? Wouldn't be a whole bunch of brain barrier crossing, mercury preservative thimerosal crossing into the brain matter and messing up stuff around there and causing drips in the ear canals or something? I don't know. Just taking a stab in the dark. Now, this is also another interesting point here. This study can only really be done with the homeschoolers because in Australia, in some places, you have to be vaccinated in order to go to school. And it's like, dude, I didn't want to go to school. And quite frankly, if I'd let's just say I did most of my learning in my 20s doing the show. You know, this is how I learned about the world, by talking to the people who have lived in it for a very long time and know a lot more about it than I, in many cases. But this problem that we have here has an interesting connection. And you know how everybody brings up this, oh, it's a Nazi Germany connection. Who were the first group of people to have legislation passing
through the Third Reich, limiting their freedoms. Homeschoolers, who were the last people to lose their rights by legislation in the Third Reich. Gun owners. Right, first, the state needs to indoctrinate your children, okay, essentially, because they're the next generation. You only need to indoctrinate one to two or three generations, and then, boom, they'll never know any different for the rest of their existence. The rest of the existence of humanity won't know anything different than what the government and television tells them so. That's why I am broke, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I have to really, really get up early, sometimes even though I want to sleep in, and have a coffee and just sit down on the computer and start working, you know, sharing stuff and commenting on things and editing stuff and posting things. It's just, it's a constant struggle. And it's frickin' breaking me. You know? There's so much frickin' scumbaggery, and I've taken so much responsibility for trying to expose it, that I'm, you know, I'm dying inside. I hate my life. I hate my job. I don't want to be here, you know, talking about scumbaggery and reading out stuff and interviewing people or whatever. I don't want to do it. I never did. And it's just so hard because I don't really have a choice. I get a panic attack if I even have the prospect of getting gainful employment. You know? But the problem is people don't appreciate it enough. You know, they're like, oh, you're trying to save the human race, are you? Oh, you're giving people access to all this for free, are you? Oh, you're putting in 14-hour days, 7 days a week, are you? Oh, okay. That's not worth giving you a dollar, let alone a dollar a month. That's not worth anything. It's not even worth liking the video. It's not even worth sharing the article. It's not even worth listening to the things that are said on it by all these interesting guests from all the over the spectrum. You know, just people just don't care. You know, that's the feeling I get sometimes, that I'm sitting here doing all this work, really just killing myself, you know, both outwardly and inwardly and spiritually, taking on all this trauma and looking at all this evil, trying to understand it and bury my head into it. And people don't appreciate it. You know, a lot of people do, but not enough to do anything to help me, you know, really help me by sharing around the articles and things like that. It takes so long to share them around, and I just have to do it all myself, more or less. It's a really sad thing. I wish people would support me more, but times are tight. New World Order's got everybody by the throat, don't they? Sorry, folks. Just had a really bad day today. Homeschooler versus homeschooler. The trouble with doing a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study a century or so after it should have been done is that virtually all American children are vaccinated today. When 95% of children get injections, there are few controls left for study long-term outcomes. Comparing American children at large to small pockets of unvaccinated children like those in the Amish community is revealing. But critics say they are comparing apples to oranges. There are too many other variables, diet, fresh air, computer time, for example, that might explain differences in health besides vaccination status. Well, as I was saying, the collective amount of things that we have in our environment that are designed to corrupt and destroy our children. Man, you can see the agenda that's been put up there to make people afraid of having children now, afraid of reproducing. Like, if you're someone who can think with a conscience, I think you've got a moral obligation to reproduce, you know, and raise your kid right. And, cause we need more of those kids around. There's so many people who just go along with the status quo, and when their kid comes home, they go, "Oh, that was nice that you learned that, Jason, about how vaccination's so good for you and everything. You're going to get your 56th one soon." Dude, it's getting bad out there. You know, people are reasonable. If they've been given I know you can jump in on me right there. Yeah, people are reasonable. It's just, if you give them the truth, both sides of it, you know, and you ask them to make a decision based upon real information, real truth, right? It's surprisingly enough, people often make the right choice, provided they understand the choice that they're given. But a lot of the time, it's mostly sales and PR and BS. Isn't it interesting how similar PR is to BS? I didn't even think about that. So Anthony Mawson, a professor in the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics, that's the study of epis, in the School of Public Health, Jackson State University, along with colleagues Azad Boyan, also good, fantastic with hummus, and Beano Jacob, collaborated with Brian D. Ray, president of the National Home Education Research Institute in Salem, or to engage and enroll homeschooling families to participate in the study. In this way, homeschoolers were compared to homeschoolers, apples to apples, but with the added advantage that homeschoolers as a population match the profiles of American families at large. The families who respond to the anonymous online survey were recruited through homeschooling associations in Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Oregon. The disease trade. Both vaccinated and unvaccinated children in the study got sick sometimes, as expected. Vaccinated children were less likely to have some infections they were vaccinated against. They were significantly less likely to have had chickenpox, odds ratio 0.26, and whooping cough, or pertussis, at 0.3. However, in spite of public health hysteria over outbreaks of measles at Disneyland and mumps resurgence, there was no evidence that vaccinated children were any more protected against these so-called vaccine-preventable diseases. That's because the vaccines never got rid of the diseases. It was this thing called sanitation. I know, radical thing to say, that waterborne diseases stopped getting people killed after we started cleaning our water. Radical theory.
I know.
Children in both groups had about the same rates of infection with measles, mumps, hepatitis A and B, influenza, rotavirus, and meningitis, both viral and bacterial. Sounds like great song lyrics. I got my measles, mumps, hepatitis A and B, influenza, rotavirus, meningitis. Dun, 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 dun. I could go under a rap on that one. It'd be fantastic. Unvaccinated children in the study were actually better protected against some vaccine-preventable diseases than children who got the shots, namely because the children who got the shots had the disease in it to be exposed to
immediately.
And it won't be the same strain as any of the ones that they might encounter out in the wild, so to speak. So they don't really protect you against anything, and they've never put a guarantee within any of their packaging to say it will freaking work. No, they haven't. Since 2000, the CDC has recommended 4 shots against different strains of pneumococcal? Man, it sounds like a really interesting pair of maracas, you know? What are those, bros? Oh, they're my pneumococcals. I cracked me up. infections before age 15 months. That's 13 strains since 2010. But vaccinated children in the study were 490% more likely to be diagnosed with pneumonia compared to unvaccinated children. Brain drain. So what is the cost for this weak vaccine protection against chickenpox and pertussis? The link between autism and vaccination is the biggest tornado in the vaccine storm. Autism has soared from a rare disorder to something affecting a child in every other classroom. In the 80s, it struck 1 in 10,000 children. By the early 1990s, 1 in 2,500. 5 years ago, 1 in 88 was diagnosed as autistic, and today it is 1 in 68. In the homeschooler study, the risk of being diagnosed on the autistic spectrum disorder was over fourfold higher among vaccinated children than unvaccinated children. And also there's a link with the antibiotics as well. So let's say you get your children vaccinated, right? Before they've had their measles, mumps and rubella round, you get them vaccinated. Then they get sick from that. And then you go to the doctor because your kid is sick and you're worried about them. And he gives them antibiotics, which compromises their immune system. And then they give them the measles, mumps and rubella. And then, ba-bam, you got autism. Not to put it unsensitively, but that's kind of what the show is about. We do not know all of the causes of ASD. That's autistic spectrum disorder, to those of you who speak English. The Centers for Disease Control says, which avoids saying they haven't identified any cause for it or any treatment. They still quote a 2004 pediatric study claiming to refute a link between autism and vaccines, even though one of its authors, their own top scientist, William Thompson, has admitted that he and his colleagues colluded to obscure and then shred data. He kept copies, which showed a link between autism and the MMR vaccine. Oh, my God, I can't believe we did what we did, because at some points in the studies, I think if you're a certain age or a certain race or whatever, you're basically seven times more likely than, say, a different kid to get autism at a certain time, right? Pretty astounding stuff, and they didn't want that to go out over the airwaves. And the CDC has a whole bunch of people running it that, funnily enough, wind up getting jobs at massive pharmaceutical companies, both after and before being working at the CDC, which incidentally just kind of rubber stamps all their bollocks drugs that they pawn off on people and damage their kids. There's some connection there. It's inexplicable. Oh, my God, I can't believe what we did, Thompson confessed in one taped telephone chat to Brian Hooker, a bioengineer professor at Simpson University and the father of an autistic child. The Thompson whistleblower case is the basis of the 2016 documentary Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe, by Andrew Wakefield, the gastroenterologist who, among the first to suggest a possible link between the MMR vaccine and autism in the late 90s, and who has become a symbol of how the system deals with dissenters. It's the film the CDC does not want anyone to see. The CDC does not want you to see. The CDC always also fails to mention that the federal government has been forced to acknowledge vaccination's role in inducing autism. Sorry, give me 2 seconds here. Composure. Professional effort. And has awarded compensation to some parents of damaged children. Other courts have recognized the connection between autism and vaccination too. You know, like when overnight they radically shift personality and radical personality shifts happen to be on the vaccine insert sheet as a known side effect. And they just connected that dot right there. Within hours of getting this thing that said it might do this thing happened, and it must be genetic. You know, it must be, you know, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It must be a giraffe, a rhinoceros. It's got to be a hippopotamus, bro. Like, no. Couldn't possibly be a duck. You know, look, I mean, it's got feathers, it's got a bill, it's got webbed feet. That doesn't scream duck to me. CDC also fails to mention that the federal government had been forced to acknowledge vaccination's role in inducing autism and has awarded compensation to some parents of damaged children through those vaccine courts. Other courts have recognised the connection between autism and vaccination too. Besides that, there are thousands of parents the courts and federal government pretend don't exist who all tell the same story over and over, that they watch their children regress into autism following vaccination.
Yes!
Brain and nervous, and I also want to like talk about the really nasty people. Like, what was it? Somebody insulted somebody who was anti-vaccination because their child became autistic, whatever, and then said something along the lines of, "Well, with that attitude, no wonder your child became autistic." And you're like, your jaw drops, and you're like, "What a psychopath, man! Just wanting to do it just to get a reaction out of you, so that they can use your reaction to demonize you in the media," which. They do. They can and do use it against you. It's like cops, you know. It doesn't matter what you say. Oh, I didn't do it or whatever. They'll use whatever you say against you. It's pretty nasty like that. I'm not saying cops are all psychopathic, just most of them. Brain and nervous system damage from vaccines is nothing new. Crippling and potentially blinding acute disseminated encephalitis. Man. Try saying that 76 times fast. For example, which causes MRI visible white spots in the brain and can progress to multiple sclerosis. And that's way worse than singular sclerosis, as far as I know, has been described in the medical literature for decades and is a documented side effect of virtually every vaccine. Narcolepsy and Guillain-Barré syndrome. Are other examples. So what role might vaccines have in subtler brain damage? Now, subtle brain damage. Now, this is an interesting thing. If you had an IQ of 131 and you had a vaccine and it had an effect on your brain, small effect on your brain, but still an effect, and your IQ got reduced to, say, 128, but you didn't have an IQ test after that or something like that. How would you know? How would you know if you're dumber? Right? You wouldn't, would you? Principally because you're dumber, but anyway, don't ask the CDC because they've never looked. See, and I love this. This is actually a number one thing when you're dealing with any kind of thing that has an alleged conspiracy relating to it, is that they'll point you to evidence that doesn't exist, and they'll say, "Oh, we can do this or whatever." But the quickest route to explaining something very simply is not the route they usually take to answer your question with. That's a sign that they're beating around the bush and hence are full of crap. But the JSU study found the odds for vaccinated children having a learning disability were over fivefold that of unvaccinated children, or 5.2, over fourfold for attention hyperactivity disorder, 4.3, and over threefold for any neurodevelopmental disorder, i.e. impairment of growth and development of the brain or central nervous system associated with a diagnosis of a learning disability, ADHD, and or ASD, that's autistic spectrum disorder. Mercury, aluminium, and everything nice. Oh, no, that says, and what else? Vaccine ingredients unknown to cause brain damage. Hey, would you like some of the most toxic heavy metals in the world injected into you? In fact, this reminds me of something very, very funny. I misquoted one time, and I said that mercury is the most toxic the worst neurotoxin known to man. And this pro-vax says, no, it's only the second most toxic neuropoison known to man. As if that made it so much better. He's got too much of that mercury in his brain places, I know it. Vaccine ingredients are known to cause brain damage. Robert Kennedy Jr. has been highlighting the dangers of mercury as thimerosal is used as a preservative in vaccines and its relationship to autism and Mad Hatter disorder because they had autism in the hats and the hatters started going mad, hence the Mad Hatter. It's almost like people who get vaccines are never schooled about the reasons why Mad Hatters are Mad Hatters. Aluminium is another well-documented neurotoxin added to vaccines. Neurotoxin, that's the word I was looking for and fumbling with. Added to vaccines as an adjuvant. Now, adjuvant, oh, yes, you hear the word adjuvant, you're going to freak out, mate. You know, it's like Gulf War syndrome type stuff. To evoke an immune system response. Oh, you're going to force your immune system to attack something that may or may not even be there. That can't possibly cause an autoimmune disorder. Recent research has thrown everything scientists used to say about it, and the CDC still does, in the bin. Aluminium is not excreted from the body within hours or days, but persists for years and can migrate to organs including lymph, spleen, and brain. Aluminium in vaccines has been implicated in chronic fatigue syndrome, macrophagic myofasciitis? Myofasciitis? Sounds like it'd go really good with salami and some feta cheese. Would you like some myofasciitis? Well, thank you, Andre. Thank you. In numerous autoimmune diseases, Alzheimer's disease, in sudden deaths following vaccination, and in autism. The FDA does not deny its toxicity, and they go, we don't deny it, but we don't confirm it either. I imagine. Just that there is enough aluminium toxin in vaccines to cause harm, but it calculates risk based on oral exposure. Even so, it describes memory impairment in lab mice and very young animals, which appeared weaker and less active and less coordinated when their mothers were exposed to large amounts of aluminium during pregnancy and while nursing. Injected exposure can hardly be safer. It should be obvious that the route of exposure, which bypasses the protective barriers of the gastrointestinal tract and or the skin, will likely require a much lower dose to produce a toxic outcome, says the 2014 review, implicating aluminium in the autism epidemic. An autistic epidemic. Besides toxic metals like aluminium and mercury, vaccines may contain contaminants from DNA, from human aborted fetus cells, animal DNA, and retroviruses. Those were viruses that they had in the 70s, and a host of debris and material contaminants that are not measured by oversight agencies and whose health effects may have never been studied. Would you like to ingest this into your child? Oh, yeah? Has it been studied? Nah. Has it been tested? Nah. Been proven to work? Nah. Has it got dangerous stuff in it? Yep. Is there any protection against you predatorily giving that to me and damaging my child and me being able to sue you back for doing it? Nah. All right, let's go right ahead with it then. What's the worst that could happen? Man, this article's very, very long. I'll see if I can get through with it. I've only got like a couple of minutes left in the broadcast, really. Well, on we proceed then. The ear infection connection. It sounds like a great movie, The Ear Infection Connection. Like a weekend in Venice. Vaccinated children in the study were nearly fourfold more likely than unvaccinated children in the study to have had a doctor-diagnosed ear infection, or 3.8, and were 700% more likely to have had had surgery to insert ear drainage tubes for repeat or persistent infections, 8.0. Acute ear infections have increased worldwide in recent decades. I wonder if it's because everybody's wearing headphones. I might be due for an ear infection myself. And are so common that they are almost unremarkable now. They affect 80% of American children by age 3 and are the leading reason for child doctor's visits, antibiotic use, and the number one pediatric surgical procedure, insertion of plastic tubes in the ears. Childhood ear infections cost the healthcare system almost $3 billion a year. Probably a lot more if you take in the global system. The study points to reports of middle ear infection filed with the government's Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, the VAERS. have a very vague role. A VAERS database search for children younger than 1 year of age who developed otitis media within 1 week of vaccination. And otitis media, you know, they do good reporting over there. Revealed 438,573 cases reported between 1990 and 2011, often with fever and other signs and symptoms of inflammation and central nervous system involvement. I always suspected there was central nervous system involvement. If that was the reported number for children under a year old within 1 week, how many children of all ages get common ear infections following vaccination? No one knows, because when you don't look, you don't find. As a possible mechanism for vaccine, messed up microbiomes. You can go good on a pizza. As a possible mechanism for vaccine-induced ear infection, study authors Mawson and colleagues. I hear that Mawson's awesome. And CITES 2006 study that looked at the types of bacteria in the nasal passages of children immunized with pneumococcal. And it sounds like something that go good with bongo drums, actually. Like the pneumococcal bongo drums. Not funny? No? Okay. Historical controls. Kids from the PCV7 era. I'm very tired of reading this. And found an increased colonization of a bacteria called M. catarrhalis. M. catarrhalis? M. catarrhalis. Sounds like a smooth operator. In the vaccinated group, M. catarrhalis, it turns out, is associated with an increased risk of ear infection. No surprise then that vaccinated children in the study were over twofold more likely to have taken antibiotics, and they were also hospitalized more often. Broad-spectrum antibiotics, like those frequently used for ear infections, like napalm on the microbiome, they may wipe out bugs that cause ear infections, but they affect many other microbes as well, shifting microbiome composition in ways that science is only beginning to understand how profoundly this impacts health. New research links microbiome shifts to a growing list of diseases, from irritable bowel syndrome, obesity, Crohn's disease — that's the one that turns you into a haggard old lady — diabetes and multiple sclerosis, to mood disorders such as anxiety and depression, mental illness such as schizophrenia and autism. Now, there's a big link between the mental disorders and the vaccines as well. And in fact, we brought that up on — who was it? I think it was Trisha Shields from Vaxxed who brought that up in a meeting with the Health Minister, Jonathan Coleman, who, of course, not only did not deny a link, but he didn't admit one either, and just kind of danced around the question and didn't answer it. Just the scumbaggery of these people. It's frickin' horrendous, isn't it? From constant dawn until dusk, they just ooze scumbaggery. It's horrible. And you have to deal with them. And they're running the country into the ground, as they do. It's kind of their thing. But I think maybe there's a good chance that vaccination and chemtrails and fluoride, the people who have been putting in the time and the effort to sort of expose these sort of issues are really starting to experience a resurgence right about now. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just the circles that I revolve in. Maybe I'm part of a disclosed echo chamber. But I feel like in some way, shape or form that we're getting some progress going on these areas. Frickin' finally. You know? A vax versus unvax study? Who would have thunk it? I mean, we got New Zealand wanting to forcibly put fluoride into the water with fluoride that is not pharmaceutical grade. So good luck, everybody who isn't allergic to, who is allergic to, what, cadmium, lead, arsenic, you know. Oh, I'm allergic to arsenic. Everybody is, bro. It's called contamination. And that's what happens when you don't have pharmaceutical grade fluoride. But if you do have pharmaceutical grade fluoride, it's just as bad for you anyway. So it just, the scumbaggery. Always constant, never ending. It is beyond measure and beyond comprehension. And I understand that we've been fighting these wars and dealing with these people and psychopaths and scumbaggery for quite some time. And it does wear on you. I know. And people try to tune into the show because it cheers them up and, you know, have a few jokes in here and there. And maybe I've been a bit depressing today because it's just real tough, mate. You ever noticed that when it rains a lot and it just doesn't let up, you don't really get any sun, and it's just difficult to survive in some ways. You realize that, hey, man, I actually have to put up with a lot of crap all day, every day, all the time. And it's just difficult to keep surviving sometimes, isn't it? And are you all going through the same thing? So I do hope that we can band together and get behind me and support me. And go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, go to americanfreedomradio.com, give us each a dollar a month or something like that. Or at the very least, go to our Patreon pages and just follow us on there so that there's more videos and more shows and all sorts of things that we can actually put out there for you if you just support us just a little bit. That's all we ask. We are trying to save humanity. Maybe that's worth supporting. I should think so. Thank you very much for those of you who do donate. It's you're champions of mankind. You really are good people. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. We'll see you again sometime, folks.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology. They have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
Quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantee, free installation. Free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem, no kidding. No fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden charges, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till September. But limited time only, though, so act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, two to a customer, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary, all sales are final, allow 6 weeks for delivery, some items not available, some assembly required, some restrictions may apply. So come on in. Come on in. Thank you. Come on in. Thank you. So So come on in. Come on in for a free demonstration and a free consultation with our friendly professional staff. Our experienced and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection that's just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet pocket pencil sharpener. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. And if you act now, we'll include an extra added free complimentary bonus gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high-quality premium select gourmet combination key ring, magnifying glass, and garden hose in a genuine imitation leather-style carrying case with authentic vinyl trim. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. Actually, it's our way of saying bend over just a little bit farther.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.